that has not been molded yet. So I will clean. You got a trifle. Okay. All right, so. What we are doing today is a little bit different, and this came out of some planning and thinking from our church growth committee, and I want to thank them for the idea. Anything you gain from this is to the credit of the church growth committee. Anything that doesn't land is my own fault, so be aware of that. But I wanted to thank Dave Farabaugh, who's the chair of the committee, Bill and Leslie Gostisil. Much of what's in here is from Leslie, and she had especially ideas of how to do things with families. Now, some of us have families, some of us are single, some of us are couples. So I'm going to try and talk about this in a way that kind of matches each of those. But if you are a parent or a grandparent and want ideas for your children or grandchildren, what to do, talk to Leslie. Invite her over. I think she has lots of resources as both a teacher and mother and grandmother. I can't guarantee she'll come if you invite her. Also, Carl Cecil is on the committee, and Marla Zanesky, and Grace Lanier. So one of the ideas that we have is wanting to encourage people within the congregation, in our own homes, observing the season of Advent, in the hopes that observing Advent can put us in a rhythm and routine for daily prayer and devotions in our homes in an ongoing way. As part of this, we've got not only kind of a handout that I want to talk through a little bit, but in the back, on your way out, please grab an Advent wreath and grab a set of Advent candles that are provided for you. If you have a family member who's kind of closely connected to the congregation but not here, grab one for them as well, so that you can share with them this. And it seems like it would be very fitting to do something like this now, because it gives us a couple of weeks to plan and consider. What I can't give you is a one-size-fits-all. Here's what everyone should do and exactly what it should look like in your own context, your own situation, your own home, because we all live in different settings. But what I want to give are some tools that you can use, adapt as you see fit for your own setting and as you encourage others to observe the season of Advent. So let's begin with prayer. I want to talk about the importance of habits, and I'll walk you through our handout. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we approach the end, we also draw near to the season of Advent, in which we remember Christ's coming in Bethlehem, his coming again on the last day, the way that he comes to us even now. We pray that you would prepare our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our homes to observe the season of Advent in a way that will benefit us and those around us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so you've got the handout, and then you've also got the trifold, which I didn't fold, but you can do that as well. So what are we talking about doing here? I want to think for a moment about the importance of habits. When you think about your day, how does your day begin? I mean you, individually you. How does your day begin? What are the first things you do in the morning?
Make coffee,
right? Yeah, okay. We got the coffee drinkers. Pray, right? First thing you do is pray. We've got our habits. In fact, you might not even know what the first thing you do in the morning is unless someone were to observe you and tell you, hey, here's what you do. Because you go through the motions every day, and that's how your day begins. And if you don't, something feels off. You might as well go back to bed and wait until the next day, because that one's not going to turn out well. We live by habits. What are the final things you do at night before going to bed? We have habits. For better or worse, we are creatures of habit. We form habits over time, and then our habits begin to form and shape us and those around us. So what we're talking about here is a habit of being connected to God's Word and being connected together with those around us in God's Word. Building good habits requires patience, thoughtfulness, and a plan. I was listening to a pastor on a podcast this week, and he was talking with someone else about building habits, and especially building a devotional life, and his wife said, "Don't make it too complicated." I can do that, right? Don't make it too complicated. Simple. A simple habit done repeatedly is better than a massive, grand plan that amounts to nothing in the end. So building good habits requires patience, thoughtfulness, and a plan. And habits give us an identity, and they help to form a community. Steve and Gary, did you get the handouts back there?
Okay. Yeah.
So Advent serves as a wonderful time for us to rebuild habits and traditions in our own lives and to shape the lives of those around us. Advent always begins on the Sunday closest to November 30th, which is St. Andrew's Day. This year, it begins the day after, on December 1st. There are always four Sundays in Advent. And it ends with the first celebration of Christ's birth on Christmas Eve. So what are the benefits of doing this? Why inculcate habits of devotional life in our own homes? First, we're doing this to introduce and encourage the habit of daily prayer and devotion. As you do this in your home, if you have others with you, you are also teaching them to pray and do devotions as well. I mean, you need it, so don't miss that part of it. But you're also modeling this for others as well. This will help us to prepare to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. We know the true meaning of Christmas. We've seen Charlie Brown's Christmas, right? But what happens?
It gets lost.
There's so much that comes at us in the season that leads up to Christmas. Pausing each day or regularly for a habit of prayer and devotion will enable you to keep the focus where it needs to be during the season. Why do it? To grow as followers of Jesus and to help others do the same. We want to grow as Christians, don't we? We're not done growing. I'm not everything that God is going to make me into. I hope I'm not, right? Because I'm not ready for that yet. This is a pattern and habit to help us grow. And again, I'm talking here individuals, couples, families. It applies in all those ways. Why do this? To reflect on and share our faith. Not just to be on autopilot, but to be intentional about reflecting on and sharing our faith. To honor God as the center of our lives and our homes. I think I've said this before, but it's worth thinking about. So we've got this little kind of what you could call a family altar set up. And thank you, Leslie, again for making this. Think about your own home. Maybe your living room or your dining room. One of the rooms where you spend a lot of time. What is the center of that room? What is the focal point? Okay, TV. We're thinking about other people. Not our homes, but TV, right? Whatever you put at the center is what is going to suck you in and grab. If you put the TV at the center, don't be surprised if the TV is the center of your life or your home. So maybe a corresponding practice in Advent is to be intentional about setting your devotional things in the center of your life. And I don't mean like put them in the middle of the living room on the floor, but the place that's prominent, that you're not going to miss, that you're going to center and circle around. Why do this? To build a culture and memories strengthening our bonds with others. That's happening right here as we do this. We're building a culture as a congregation. We're building a memory and a pattern as well. You can also do this in your own home with whoever you have around you. And besides all of that, this can be a lot of fun. Don't miss that. So how to get started? Four things. Who, when, where, and what? Who? You? Your spouse, if you're married? Your family? It could include a friend or neighbor, godchildren, or grandchildren. Right? One of the things I want to encourage as you think about this, I mean, what I'd love is for all of us to go and have a regular daily devotional life starting today, through Advent. But even if you only do it 3 times a week, you're building a habit. If you live alone, do you have neighbors? Do you have neighbors from the church that you could invite over once a week to join you in this? Do you have neighbors who are Christians that you could invite over to be part of this with you? So who? When? You have to pick a time. Anything? Have you ever made a resolution to exercise and then not done it? How many times, right? Why does that happen? Because we didn't pick a time or a place. If you made a resolution and said, I'm going to walk every morning at 6 a.m. and put your shoes by your bed so that the moment you step out, you're in your shoes, it'd be a lot easier to do. We need to set a time. I think in the Advent season in particular, evening can be a great time. It's dark outside. Lighting candles is a magical sort of thing. And don't be too old for that magic. Let it hit you as well. So after dinner, before going to bed, if morning works better, do it in the morning. Where? Pick a place. At the table, could be at the table, could be at the living room. In my house, we do our daily devotions usually around the table, which means the table has to get cleared, and the dishes have to get put away, and that actually is a really helpful practice. That's all cleared off, we do it on the table. We sometimes do what we call couch devotions. I'd say with the little ones, it never goes quite as well as the table, which doesn't always go perfectly well either, but pick a place, and then make a plan, and start simple. So, what I want to suggest to you is the center of your devotional life in Advent can be really with the Advent wreath. And as I said, even doing something 3 times a day begins to build and form a habit.
Three times a week.
3 times a day would build a habit. Okay, so what do we have with the Advent wreath? You've seen it at church. Maybe you have an Advent wreath yourself, maybe not. I also want to be careful if you live in a place that doesn't want you to have candles. Don't put the church information on the bottom of it when you come to candles. But just make sure you put them up. The Advent wreath. John chapter 1. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Every time we light these candles, this is what we are confessing. Not that the candles are the light of the world, but Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the darkness cannot and has not put him out. So Advent wreaths are a lovely custom to observe the season, and you can put a white candle of some sort in the middle, known as the Christ candle, and you would light that on Christmas Day, and then for the 12 days of Christmas as well. The other thing you can do, so we've got just the plain metal wreaths, but as Leslie shows here, you can decorate it in all sorts of ways. There's symbolism, so the ring, what is the ring, the circle, confess? Eternity. Where is the beginning and the end of the circle?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't find it, right? So eternity, it's a symbol of eternity. Oftentimes the wreath is decorated with evergreens. Why evergreens? Because they're evergreen. A symbol of everlasting life. Holly berries as well, and holly are a great way to decorate, but you can do other things. You can use shells. You could, I'm sure, find something else to decorate around it. You could put a couple of pieces of fruit around it as well. So be creative with how you set this up. Make it enjoyable. Make it fun. The four candles have four meanings. So it's the countdown to Christmas. Each week, the first Sunday in Advent, the second Sunday in Advent, third Sunday in Advent, and the fourth Sunday in Advent. They do have some meanings, and it is traditional to light the pink one on the third Sunday. Right? Purple, purple, pink, purple. What does the color pink do? How do you feel about the color pink?
It's bright.
It's It's passive, right? I think it's okay for guys to say that. You've got to make sure it's passive. Pink is a happy color. Advent is a season of repentance. It can be a little bit kind of stripped down and bare, but that third Sunday becomes a little brightening. We call it Rejoice Sunday, Gaudete Sunday. So that's why the pink one comes third, is that it's this little moment of kind of brightness and joy as you head to the celebration of Christmas. There are kind of themes. I think if you went online, you could probably find dozens of different ideas about what the candles represent. But a few of them go like this. So the first week of Advent, you light the first candle. I always do the one across from the pink. There's the theme of hope. Sometimes it's called the prophet's candle or the Messiah's candle, recalling the prophecies about the Messiah and the hope he brings into the world. The second week, you would light the first two candles, starting on Sunday. That theme is the theme of peace, or the Bethlehem candle, reflecting Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem and the peace that Christ's birth brings. As I said, the third candle is the pink one, represents joy, sometimes called the shepherd's candle. It represents the joy of our Lord's birth, as well as the joy we have in anticipation of his return. On the fourth candle is the last purple candle lit on the fourth Sunday in December. So this year it would be December 1st, December 8th, December 15th for the pink candle, and December 22nd you would have all four candles lit. The fourth one is the candle of love, also known as the angel's candle, symbolizing the message of God's love as announced by the angels at Christ's birth. One way you could do this would be to light the candle, especially if you've got children or grandchildren involved, and say, now we're going to light the hope candle. And you can even ask them and say, what gives you hope? What kind of hope do we have as Christians? You turn it into something that becomes engaging and connecting with them. Same thing with the peace candle. What does peace mean? You know, the end of warfare, right? What about joy? What about love? And have a conversation with them about these things. So here's a simple way of how this could look. So an order of evening prayer in the home. And again, this is going to be different for different stages. I'd like to lead us through this, an example of what we can do. And you can respond as you do in service with the bold portion of the service. And it's fairly brief. Doesn't have to be long. 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Do I strike this on the side of this jar?
Right on the bottom.
Right on the bottom. All right, so we'll light that first candle, the hope candle or the prophet's candle, Messiah's candle. And remember that Christ is our hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let my prayer rise before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Joyous light of glory, of the immortal Father, heavenly, holy, blessed Jesus Christ, we have come to the setting of the sun, and we look to the evening light. We sing to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy of being praised with pure voices forever. O Son of God, O Giver of life, the universe proclaims your glory. If you turn to the next page, we're going to sing a couple stanzas of the hymn. So I've given you, connecting to Sunday, I've given you a list of the readings that will be used each Sunday in Advent, the prayer for each Sunday, and the central hymn for each Sunday. So we're going to sing the first two stanzas of Savior of the Nations Come. You've sung it before. If you don't know the tune offhand, join me when you figure it out. Why two stanzas? We could sing all eight, and that would be perfectly fine. We could sing one stanza. We could sing five stanzas, right? I want to be clear, you can tailor this to what fits you. In our home, when the kids are doing well, we can sing five stanzas of a hymn. When little ones are getting squirrely, we maybe can sing one stanza of a hymn. Maybe. Right? So adapt to the situation. Others in my family encourage us to sing the 15 stanza of a hymn. And they're not all 15. We don't do that all. So the first two stanzas.
Savior of the nations come.
Simply recite the Apostles' Creed together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And then we have our prayers. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In our home, we do a brief, everyone does a brief prayer, thanking God for something and praying for someone. So I'll do that now. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you for this congregation, for the saints of our Savior, and the blessings you have given to me through them. I pray that you would be with them as I am away. Grant them your care through your word and sacraments. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Use the prayer for the first Sunday of Advent. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, stay with us, for the evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our constant companion on the way. Kindle our hearts and awaken hope among us, that we may recognize you as you are revealed in the Scriptures and in the breaking of the bread. Grant this for your name's sake.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Who would like a turn by putting the candle out? I'm not actually being facetious with that, especially with children. Taking turns, lighting the candles, dangerous to teach them how to use a match, but they learn, and putting it out. But it can even be fun for a couple, or inviting a friend over and taking turns lighting and putting it out. So that's sort of a basic outline, I'd say, of what could be done. Maybe you have things you've done every year for Advent. I'm not asking you to give that up. I say that sort of a devotion can work well, especially with children who are like 3 or 4 and up. But younger children can be brought into it as well, but that's only the beginning. And I want to just touch on briefly a few other things before we finish. So if you open up, there's on the next page after that order of service, other activities and ideas for Advent. There's a prayer for blessing the Advent week. So you could use that maybe every Sunday as you light another candle. Think about the setting. If you've got the lights in your dining room on full blast and you light the candles, you don't notice the candles that much. If you've got the lights down and you light the candles, suddenly they bring a brightness. So you can consider the atmosphere. Maybe have only your Christmas tree lights on or a fire in the fireplace. Hanging up icons or other Christmas images, things to look at. Light the candles, follow whatever the devotional plan is that you're going to do, add traditions and elements that suit your situation, maybe follow the time with cocoa and Christmas cookies, or for the adults, a glass of wine or something like that. Make the time of worship and joy, wonder and mystery as we grow and change. As I said, involve others. So if you have someone coming over to your house for some reason in the evening, don't set aside what you normally do. Do it anyway and invite them to join you. And I can print more of these or more of that order of service to send to people as well. If you have a neighbor, invite them over to join you. And as I said, rotate turns for lighting and snuffing the candle. Don't act like you're too old to do that. I mean, seriously, right? Build a lesson, make sure you take turns for your life. Right? Take turns selecting a hymn or a carol to sing. Everyone has favorite Christmas carols. Even if you're not a good singer, we know them. And I'm not talking about Frosty, right? We know Christmas carols. Maybe you only remember one stanza. That's fine. Sing it. Take turns picking. Or pick some activity. So there's some other suggestions of things you can do in the Advent season. Some of them are things you might do once. Some of them are things you could repeat on a regular basis. So if you have an Advent calendar, as part of your devotion, open one of the doors on the Advent calendar during your time. This one was not one I thought about, but I love the idea. When you get Christmas cards or Christmas letters, keep them in the basket, and then as you receive them, pray for family and friends. Pull them out and pray for them. You can set up a creche, a nativity. I found one at the dump, the swamp shed in town, 2 weeks ago. We go through nativity scenes like candy. Like, I don't know how many broken doses we've got in line. You can add a new figure each night. For children, you can ask what they know about the figure. Hey, here's a shepherd. What do you know about shepherds? What do they do? You can ask them what they might hear, smell, or taste if they were there. You can discuss what nativity is, what it means. For children, you can tell them each child's nativity story, if you want to remember and relive that. You can tell your nativity story if you know from your own mother how you were born. You can discuss Jesus' nativity story. You can start something like a flower. A narcissus or an amaryllis requires patience and waiting.
Growing up, my mother was a Sunday school teacher, but yeah. we were a social family, but we had people over during the Christmas time.
Yeah.
The friends were all over in family. We'd stand around the piano and we'd sing.
You'd sing, yeah. We need to do more.
I remember this day.
It's like, you're like straight out of It's a Wonderful Life. but we should do that. Why don't we sing more, right? We know these Christmas carols. You could write out Bible verses or Christmas words and put them on pieces of paper and draw one out each day, thinking about what it means, dwelling on it. Maybe you have favorite Bible passages. Put them in a basket and draw a new one out and meditate on that. You could memorize, and I say you could memorize, I actually mean you could. I believe in you. I think you are probably able to read a passage. Luke chapter 2, the Nativity. Luke chapter 1, the Magnificat of Mary. You could illustrate or write out thoughts and prayers during Advent. If you're doing that, the children provide them with some art supplies, right? So this can be an interactive time as well. If kids need something to be engaged with, put something in their hands. Not something loud, not a bell or a whistle, but something that they can occupy their hands with. I'm sure you can find coloring pages online as well. Or a journal. Invite them to talk about and share their creations. Listen to Handel's Messiah, especially part one, and read the scriptures in the libretto. That's a little book that has the scripture passages. Sing carols, hymns, and other Bible songs. Go outside. Look at the stars. Think about the Bethlehem star that directed the Magi to the manger. So these are some ideas, and as I said, the next couple pages give you, and I do intend you to take this with, you can read the upcoming readings for the Sundays in Advent and be prepared for what's coming up on the Sundays. You can look at these and learn these hymns. We'll be singing these on these Sundays in Advent. And then at the very back, there's a little, or second to last set of pages, a little liturgical calendar, description of Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, and some recommended children's books as well. This is only the very beginning. There are a lot more, and there are a lot of resources for adults as well. So I do invite you, if you have things that you have enjoyed or you think would be beneficial, email them to me, and we'll put together an addendum of what people can use to observe the season of Advent. And then finally, place for notes and a couple other resources you can look at. So, questions or thoughts as you think about this?
If we have the Advent service again, that would be a nice time for those of us who are doing the Advent wreath to gather together as we eat, talk about what we've experienced with them and our children.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So when we have our Advent Wednesday suppers, that could be a great time to talk about, what are we doing with our Advent wreaths at home? How is it working? What's working well? What do we maybe need some help with? What are we focused on this season? Joanne?
I believe it's Concordia has an Advent calendar, and behind each door is a figure.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's awesome. I love those Advent calendars.
But it's a figure of the nativity scene.
Yes.
And the children get to develop the
They start building the scene. Is they go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the books that are listed as kids' books are in the back. Don't take them, but you may look at them. Other thoughts about this. One thing that I want you to be thinking about as you leave today is what are one or two things that you might do in your own home, your own life this Advent season, coming out of this. So there is a wreath in the back for every household. There's a set of candles in the back for every household here as well. So the expectation is if you're here, you're going to take one with you, and you're going to, in some way, set this up in your home. If you set it up now, you've got 2 weeks to look at it and think about what are you going to do? How are you going to make use of it? So other thoughts, questions? Growth committee people, anything you'd like to add?
I would say when you have the service, don't rush through it.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you got to get this stuff because the season's full of rushing through things and being busy and just getting distracted. So just take it slow and enjoy the candle.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a wonderful opportunity to just slow down and find out where you're at, where your spouse is at, where your neighbors are at, where your children are.
So if you didn't hear what Bill said, he said, don't just get through it to get to the cocoa at the end, right? Take your time. Be willing to sit in it and dwell upon it. Enjoy even just a moment of silence or quasi-silence at the end of the day. Put the lights down, light the candles, and enjoy that atmosphere and that scene. Thinking about the magnificent gift that our God gave us when he sent his son to be born in Bethlehem. Alright, I think we're at time, so I'm going to send you away. Grab your Advent wreath and your candles on the way out. I will, if you've got things to add, email them to me, and I will make sure we have more copies of the devotion.